We just got some information as to how big the explosion was. It was much bigger than the one they did in 2006. It was roughly in the same area, only about 5.5 miles from where they conducted the test in 2006. But if you go by the seismic scale, this was maybe 10 to 12 times bigger. So they've clearly gotten good at making a bigger nuclear bomb. Now, you know, they're years away from being able to put that on any kind of a deliverable system, according to analysts. But still, just the size and scale of this thing, it does have people alarmed.
It seems like whenever they're not in the headlines, they have to do something to ensure that they get back into the headlines. At least Kim Jong-il does.
That's right. And that's really what, you know, what follows a lot of this. And if they somehow feel dissed by either South Korea, the United States, or Japan, or someone else, they will issue some kind of a threat. When they issue a threat, they feel like they have to carry it out. They did issue a threat that they would do this kind of nuclear test. And of course, in their minds, you know, threats shouldn't be made idly. If you threaten to do something, do it.
Sotomayor, analysts say she's more center-left than far-left. Bring it all back into perspective for us. What are we looking at?
Well, she is considered kind of a center-left judge by analysts who kind of look at it fairly dispassionately. But, you know, conservatives do kind of tag her with the label of an activist judge. And, and by that, they kind of mean a judge who tends to lean more liberal, but also who tends to try to make policy and influence policy according to his or her beliefs. And they do that because mostly they peg it to a speech, she was part of a panel discussion at Duke University 4 years ago. And the now infamous quote that she had is, Court of Appeals is where policy is made. And then she kind of backpedaled and said, I know I shouldn't, you know, say that because we don't make law and I don't advocate for that. But she also then clarified that she thinks the appeals courts are where the rulings carry a broader ramification for the law. So she wasn't really implying that, you know, policy and laws should be made from the Court of Appeals bench where she happened to sit. She was just saying that, look, you know, the rulings on a Court of Appeals really do kind of carry broader ramifications for the law, you know, and for a plethora of cases compared to criminal courts, which really deal with the facts of those particular cases.
The sticking point then is going to be maybe the difference between ruling based on strict law interpretation versus empathy.
Yes, and you know, this tends to be a political battle, you know, because the empathy, you're going to hear these words that are code for either liberal or conservative. When conservatives hear the word empathy, they think, you know, ultra liberal and activist judge. Mm-hmm. When liberals hear the word kind of strict adherence to the Constitution, they think ultra conservative. You know,
an activist judge.
Sure,
yeah.
Exactly. So you're gonna hear the arguments on both sides. You really just, you know, who knows what she's really going to be measured on in the last analysis. It could be on her writings, which some, you know, there are some who question her scholarship on this, saying that some of her writings cover a widespread you know, avenue of topics, but are not particularly of much depth. That's what some critics say. Now, others say that she does have, you know, conversely, she has experience in a broad range of cases, from criminal to civil, you know, to appeals and all of that. So, you know, her experience, it really is fairly impressive when you look at it. 17 years on the federal bench, first in the federal district court, where she really did deal with a wide range of criminal cases, and then the last 11 or so on the Court of Appeals. So this is not someone whose qualifications I think you can necessarily question. You know, philosophy, scholarship, she could probably be questioned on some of that with some credibility, but, you know, confirmation is still probably not going to be in much jeopardy.
Let's shift from the courthouse to the White House. Netanyahu was here just about a week ago meeting with President Obama, and it seemed like everybody was on the same page. What changed?
Well, you know what? It may have been really nothing that changed, and maybe it's just interpretation of some of the nuance that we're getting into here. What Obama said when Netanyahu was sitting next to him was, basically, we have a clear understanding that we have to make progress on settlements, that settlements have to be stopped in order for us to all move forward in the peace process. There seemed to be an agreement on that. Now, you know, what we got on Sunday and on Monday was that Netanyahu had told his cabinet right after the meeting with Obama, a few days after, that, you know, we're going to actually continue building on settlements that already exist. And if people want to expand their home or build a school people, they should be able to do that. Now, that's some interpret that as being in defiance of what President Obama wants. When we pressed the White House on it, they just kind of said, look, we're going to stick to what the president said. Well, what he said was settlements have to be stopped. That could mean, you know, stop building new ones. It could mean tear down the illegal outposts, which, you know, Israel's promised to do both of those things. Where they really may have a dispute is, will the Obama administration tolerate the Israelis building on existing settlements in the West Bank? There are about 250 to 280,000 Jewish settlers who live in these areas. That's a lot of land, and it's all land that the Palestinians claim for a future state. If they want to start expanding that, that may very well be a problem for the Palestinians and for the Obama administration.